Part 2. Environmental Sustainability. Chapter 3. The Anthropocene. The world's ability to combine long-term economic growth with environmental health is heavily debated. Yet one thing is certain. The current trajectory of human activity is not sustainable. If we simply do what we are doing on the planet with unchanged technology, but on a much larger scale, as China, India, and other large population centers experience rapid economic growth, the environmental underpinnings of global well-being will collapse. The limits of the environment itself will defeat our global aspirations for prosperity. Yet if we channel a modest part of our growing resources and knowledge into high-S sustainable technologies, the result can be very different. Nature's services and the human population. To succeed, we'll have to break some bad and long-standing habits. Our species' natural history is not merely one of human migration and population growth. Our deepest pattern, in fact, has been the appropriation of the Earth's natural systems for human use, often at great and unwitting cost to other species and to the long-term well-being of human society itself. Nature provides us with the stuff of life, food, water, fuels, fibers, and human society has worked relentlessly to harness nature's services to support a rising human population and rising levels of consumption per person, but typically unaware of the long-term consequences. In fact, those consequences were generally manageable until recently, until the world became exceedingly crowded with human beings and their high-intensity activity. Our species, Homo sapiens, has been around now for around 100,000 years. For the first 90,000 or so years of human existence, the human population was limited by the ability of small bands of humans to hunt and gather their foodstuffs within complex ecological systems. The carrying capacity of each environment differed. Human populations varied in number and density depending on the underlying productivity of the local ecology and the competition with other species, whether on deserts, mountains, riverbanks, coastal estuaries, or the countless other locales of human existence. Human numbers were probably not far different from what would be expected of mammals of our size, around 1 to 2 humans per square kilometer, higher in settings of great productivity, such as the banks of rivers and estuaries, where fishing was easy and plentiful, and smaller in settings of low productivity, such as desert margins. On a global scale, hunter-gatherers might have totaled 10 million in number at the start of the Neolithic era 10,000 years ago. Even in this early phase of human existence, indeed, even before modern humans emerged, our ancestors began to alter the landscape to tilt the advantage toward human needs at the expense of other species. There is evidence that and even proto-humans used fire to alter their landscapes in order to convert forests to grasslands and to facilitate hunting. These earliest steps of our species foretold the pattern that brings us to the ecological challenge of the first century. The decisive breakthrough in human populations came not with fire, but with the invention of agriculture around 10,000 years ago. The shift to agriculture represented a qualitative change in the natural order, one whose consequences are seen being played out. In an agricultural system, the land is cleared of natural communities of plants and animals so that the solar energy can be appropriated by human beings in a more direct manner. Photosynthesis is directed toward foodstuffs directly consumed by humans, or foodstuffs consumed by domesticated animals that are directly consumed by humans. Agriculture was truly something new and revolutionary. The balance between humans and the rest of the biosphere was decisively altered. Human populations soared after the onset of agriculture, both because our species was able to increase its density wherever it was located, and because agriculture opened the opportunity for a massive expansion of the range of human habitats. Now it was possible to cut down a forest with the intention of planting a crop and expanding human settlements. For the past 10,000 years, deforestation has been the policy of choice of human societies for increasing the human carrying capacity of the local environment. The result was a rise in the human population of perhaps more than an order of magnitude from the onset of agriculture to the beginning of the first millennium in AD 1, when the human population is estimated to have been around 230 million in total. In the earliest days of agriculture, this bulging population was most heavily concentrated in the great river systems of Asia and the Nile in Egypt. Those riverine ecologies offered a full suite of ecosystem services for human survival. Ample solar radiation, water for irrigation and household use, trees for fuel wood and construction, nutrient-rich soils with soil nutrients replenished by the silt carried downriver from the erosion of mountains upstream, and river-based transport. One can fairly say that the Himalayan-Tibetan mountain ranges support Asia's vast population potential by enabling the river-based societies of the Indus, Ganges, Brahmaputra, Ayurvedi, Mekong, Yangtze, Yellow, Salween, and other rivers. The Tigris and the Euphrates in modern-day Turkey and Iraq, and the Nile, made possible the ancient civilizations of the Near East,